This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
We've heard so many arguments in the case against Richard Allen here in the Delphi murders of why he, you know, likely didn't do it. And then we hear the arguments of, well, he made all these confessions. Obviously, they don't have to prove motive here on the state's part, but that's what a juror would want to make any sort of sense of this. And if you look at the arc of behavior of Richard Allen, he worked at CVS, he had a family, doesn't have a criminal history or record of anything like this. You don't have any friends or family that have come out going, oh yeah, he was a weird guy. He was, I always suspect, like none of that. So
none of it.
What on earth are you thinking the prosecution is going to be bringing to the table to show that he did do it, other than his prison confessions, and that he went for a walk that day and raised his hand and said, hey, I was there?
There are three big pieces are presence, mere presence, where he put himself there. Like he
voluntarily.
That.
Yeah.
We have the unspent casing, which is going to come in.
Yeah.
And that they claim that they matched to his gun, which I'm here to tell you that it's junk science. That being said, mm-hmm. when you're talking about human beings that are sitting on a jury, it can still be very powerful evidence, yeah. you know, because like jurors are going to be like, all right, well, they got a guy that's saying it's BS and they're getting a guy on there that's saying that it's gospel. Mm-hmm. Who do I believe in terms of experts?
Yeah. yeah.
So, you know, it, like all that's going to be resonating through their mind is that they've got one person saying that they found it at the scene and that it matches his gun. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's powerful, scary evidence if you're the defense, whether it's junk science or not.
Yeah,
it's coming in.
That's like, where the character of the expert witnesses is going to make a big deal. You have to have someone who's compelling, someone that is approachable and feels safe and not yeah. standoffish and not, you know, here's the fact, motherfucker. You know, because if you have one or the other, I think that the character of each is going to weigh heavily on that jury because of the two facts.
100%. 100%. You know, and again, if I'm the defense, I'm looking for an expert that's going to get, you know, 10 different of the exact same model weapons. Mm-hmm. And they're going to, you know, like just
spend a casing.
Yeah, just
casing
out of it. Yep. And then you're going to use all 10 of those guns like blind. Yep. And then you're going to have that expert try to match yeah. that cycled casing to each one of the 10. You know yeah. what I mean? And it's like, if you can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the problem from the defense is if you got an expert who does that, you're saying, well, don't write that report because that report's going to kill us.
Sure.
You know, so, but if they come through and they're like, we tried, mm-hmm. there's no way you can do it. It's just, it's not actual science. Mm-hmm. You know, then you go with it. But again, man, it's like, and then you got the confessions. So those are the three big things. I mean, if you pull these confessions out, you're left with four individuals who identified somebody on the bridge and all gave vastly different descriptions. Mm-hmm. You've got him being there from anywhere from 12:30 to 3:30. You know, there's two different time frames that exist. And like, that's going to be their problem, is that their entire case is that he's bridge guy mm-hmm. and that he's the one who told them to go down the hill. So that is, because it's going to be similar, because they added straight murder to it, where it was always they were doing like a felony murder case where they just had to prove that he committed the felony, meaning the kidnapping that resulted in the girls dying, and then they get the guilty on the felony murder.
Yeah.
But they've added, kind of like in Karen Reed, where that he's the one who did the murder as well, mm-hmm. which is a much, much more difficult case for them to prove. So, you know, I mean, they're just relying on this, that he's bridge guy. He has to be bridge guy. Who else was there? Mm-hmm. Even though we've got this geofence data, which the state on day three is sitting there poo-pooing. I'm like, man, boy, they better never try to use geofence data to get a warrant again, because yeah. every defense attorney in that county is going to be like, oh, well, Nick McClelland said this is junk. It's completely unreliable, mm-hmm. you know, and because from what I've heard from geofence data is it's way more reliable than tower data because they set up these little fences. Cause like, you know, what geofencing really came from is like Google developed it. Like if you're walking in New York, like on your trip and you're like, and you're like, and you, and they know that you've bought a certain product at some point and you're like, oh, well, I'm walking by this store. It's going to pop up on your phone if that company has paid for advertising.
It works wonderfully
for that zone.
I mean, I was just in New York and everywhere I went, it was like go on Facebook or whatever. The ads that are popping up. Oh, look, that's right across the street. It's not a coincidence that it's doing that.
Exactly. Like, you know, so and that's what I'm saying, man. Like, you've got to just dump all your cash into the forensic, the phone guys. Yeah. Like, because to me, that's the key to the case. Yeah. If you're the defense. You know, because like they're going to have major issues proving time of death.
Yeah,
you know that's the fact. Like they're not going to be able to do it. Their autopsy isn't going to show it, and they just didn't do the things that they had to do. And we heard coming in that there were a lot of issues with this case in terms of the forensics that were done or not done, and those are all going to rear their ugly heads.
Yeah,
like, and so that again. If I'm the defense in this case, I'm much like in Karen Reed. I'm thinking long and hard about how much I want to be able to point the finger at somebody else. I mean, look, is a defense attorney perfect world? You always want to be able to say, my guy didn't do it. He did it. You know, I mean, that's what you want to be able to do, but they're not going to be able to establish the type of evidence that's going to convince a jury that, oh yeah, that guy's the guy that did it. And when you come forward with that third party culprit thing and you're saying that these are the guys who did it, they don't have to prove anything, but it comes across to a jury is that they do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that, that gets lost in the jury's minds. It's like, okay, well, we've got two different sides saying that this guy did it over here or this group of guys did it over here. Like where are we at? You know, and like it, if you go that third party culprit route, you are entering very, very dangerous territory because at the end of the day, you're asking the jury essentially to pick between one of the two narratives as opposed to focusing on the actual evidence that does prove something. Like if they could put an expert on that says that the phone turns on inexplicably, that there's only two possible scenarios. One, that it was outside of the cell tower to where it wasn't receiving pings, gone from that area, or that it was turned on at 4:33, that those are the only two, that it can't be that theory that we were talking about, that just for whatever reason, the phone wasn't picking up that tower for 11 hours. If you get an expert to say, that's not how this thing works, you know, like the AT&T was pinging it. So like, to me, that's what I'm leaning into because then you avoid any of the pratfalls with the third party culprit thing.
Want more of the podcast without the ads?
Then hit subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts.
Try it now for 3 days, absolutely free.
You'll get access to all of our extended advance ad-free episodes instantly.
So you can binge without the break. True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Search and subscribe now on Apple Podcasts.